players. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have your Bibles turned to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 34. I want to remind you about our service tonight. Begins at 6:30. Our East Campus, we're starting our door to work on the other side of the county. Almost called it a parish. I'm going back to Louisiana on that. The other side of the county, the Lake Worth Middle School, Brother Turner has been doing some incredible ministry. I'm telling you, just blessing us. Especially if you live in that area, we'd love for you to join us. But no matter where you're from around, we just have a wonderful time. The Lord is blessing. We're excited about reaching the precious souls in that area. Can you say amen? Praise God. Praise God. Also be in prayer. I've got a little bit more looking into this, but we may have a great opportunity to start a Spanish-speaking church in Okeechobee. We have a building there, 5 acres of land that we can use, a church building. And so we're working with our Spanish church. I know it's an hour away, but there's a huge population of Spanish people there that do not speak English very well. And we want to reach them. We want to reach them with this gospel. We want to reach every tongue, every kindred, every nation. If they're in our country, we want to reach them. There is no greater gospel than the gospel that we preach. We want to love them, reach them, and bring them into the kingdom. And they can become my brothers and sisters in Christ. Can I get a good old hearty amen? So be lifting that up in prayer. We'll be bringing more of that to you here in the near future. To our guests, we welcome you. We're thankful you are with us. It is our prayer that before you leave here today, that you will receive everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has for you. And I promise you, He has some wonderful things in store for you. You will reach out to Him, open your heart, and let there be no hindrances of pride or religion or tradition. But say, God, I stand before you, just me and you, and I want everything that you have for me. You have a need in your life of healing. God will take care of that. Financial, God will take care of that. Family need, emotional, mental, whatever it may be, I serve a God that will work in your life mightily and powerfully. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 34. Everybody say, oh, give thanks. The word says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is. For His mercy endureth for. And say ye, save us, O God, our salvation. And gather us together, deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, and what did they do? Let's do that right now, will you? From your heart. From your heart, come on, that's it. Hallelujah! We send out thanks now, we send out praise. We praise you, we worship you, we glorify you. Have your way, oh God, today. Minister in the power of the Word of God. We ask it in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, the power of the Lord is in this place. Turn to two or three people around you and tell them, give thanks to the Lord. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Of course, we are entering into the season, the time in which we call here in America Thanksgiving. And we have a lot to be thankful for in this country. Your pastor is still able to stand behind this pulpit and preach truth unhindered, uncensored. When you leave here today, you are free. You can put your Bible on your dash. You can tie it to the hood of your car if you want to. You can fly the American flag on the hood of your car, or you can fly any other flag you want to fly on the hood of your car. You know why? Because you live in America. And we are blessed. Somebody put your hands together. We live in a blessed country. There are a lot of things that we can find to give thanks for in the foundation of Thanksgiving in this country. The history that is laid upon it when they left a country of oppression, of taxation without representation, oppression of even religion, etc. And they came try to find a land where we could be free and have proper representation. No man's not perfect, and everything about this country is not perfect. However, we certainly have a strong foundation upon which we can be thankful. But there is no greater thanks that could ever come out of your mouth, ever rise up out of the innermost being of your soul, than when your head is lifted up and your mouth is open and you are saying unto the creator of your soul, I thank you, I praise you, I adore you. I want to talk to us just for a few minutes here today about a few things that we most definitely have or need to be thankful to our Lord and our Savior. This is something that is often preached through the year, but we need to keep in mind that prayer is more than just a time of asking. It is more even than just a time of praise, but it is a time of thanksgiving, where I take the time out to think about my life, think about my day or my yesterdays, and without hesitation, I am able to lift my hands to Jesus Christ and say, I thank you. I thank you for your blessings on my family. I thank you for your blessings on my marriage. I thank you for the blessings on my health and my body. I thank you for the blessings financially. I thank you for the blessings that are spiritually. I'm telling you, we could go on all day. There's so much God has done for you and God has done for me. And these are the things that we have seen with our eyes, tasted with our tongue, felt with our hand, experienced in our life. What about all of the things we have not seen? What about all the things we do not know? I promise you, standing before you today, that God is doing things for you in your life right now that you will never know until you get to heaven. But if it wasn't for a great God watching over us, directing us, providing, helping, and protecting. And so, God, let's stand to our feet. God, we stand to our feet right now. We lift our hands and we give you praise and thanks for the things we do not see. Come on, somebody. For the things we do not know. But what you have done for us, how you have blessed us, how you have helped us, how you have encouraged us, oh God, and protected us. Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise. Lord bless you. You may be seated. The first time thanksgiving or giving thanks to the Lord is mentioned in the Word of God is Leviticus chapter 7 and verse number 11. The word of the Lord says, and this is the law of the sacrifice. Everybody say, of the peace offering, which he shall offer unto the Lord, if he offer it for a thanksgiving. Then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, cakes mingled with oil, and of fine flour fried. Listen, you can't separate peace and thanksgiving. If you want peace, listen to your pastor. If you want peace in your heart, learn to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving in whatever situation you find yourself in. And notice I said, and the Bible says, sacrifice of thanksgiving. You may not always be thankful where you find yourself. In fact, I'm sure every one of us here today can find or think of something going on in your life or in your family that you say, God, I find it pretty difficult to thank you about this or thank you in this. That's why it's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Even though you can't comprehend it, even though it's not natural, you give it anyway. And I'm here to tell you today, if you'll learn to thank God in it, a peace will come upon you. Something will touch you that will tell you it's going to be okay. I'm going to take care of it. I want you to know I'm right here. I'm right in the middle of it when I begin to thank Him. When I begin to thank Him. When I begin to thank Him. God, I don't know what you're doing, but I thank you. God, I don't understand it, but I thank you. God, I can't comprehend it, but I thank you. We don't know what God is doing. He is so far beyond us. His ways are not our ways. They're above our ways. His thoughts are so far beyond our thoughts, we could never comprehend it. If somehow we could learn to just accept, God, it's difficult. God, it's hard. But you are sovereign. Sovereign in my life. Sovereign, God, in my soul. Sovereign in this situation. And I yield it to you, oh God. And I give you praise. And I give you thanks. I'm telling you, the day will come when you'll look back and you'll say, God, that's what you were doing. That's why you did it that way. That's why you handled it. Sometimes things are happening to us and they seem horrible. I don't know why I got this on my mind, brother, because this is horrible. But I'm going to tell you, Akeisha, where you at, baby? There she is. How many kids you got now? Just two? No, two here. You only got two? Girl, bless you with these two. What's wrong with you? Last time I talked to you, you said no more. Two? That's all? I don't blame you, baby. Listen, we don't understand miscarriage number one. Was there three? We don't understand miscarriage number two. We don't understand miscarriage number three. We don't understand the pain. We don't understand the hardship. We don't understand the difficulty. We'll never comprehend it. But I'm here to tell you in the Holy Ghost, God was doing something in your body so that the two babies you have could be healthy. The Lord spoke that into my spirit. He was taking care of something. Because the babies would have been born unhealthy. Something would have been wrong. But God said, I know how to handle it. Can you trust me? Can you trust me? Can you trust me? Can you trust me? That's what God is saying here today. Can you trust me enough to lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because I'm telling you, God's got it all in control. God's got everything in control. And sister, when you get to heaven, I just want to let you know there's going to be five kids there. The two with you now and the three God brought to heaven. Right out of the womb. Somebody give a thanksgiving unto the Lord. Come on, praise Him, thanks Him. Thanksgiving was so important that God actually put one of his chief priests, and under him many priests. And the only thing that they did, according to Nehemiah chapter 12, the only thing that they did was oversee the Thanksgiving offerings. Now, probably because the people were so thankful that there were so many of them bringing Thanksgiving offerings. You know, it's amazing when Moses said, hey, we need to build a tabernacle. And God has blessed y'all in Egypt. And when you left Egypt, he lets you take some things with you. So I want you to bring those things from Egypt, because God didn't give them for you. He gave them to you for the tabernacle. And so many responded to that, that Moses had to stand up and say, would you quit? Would you stop? It is my dream to stand before this congregation and say, we have enough. Would you stop? But until then, we got to build a tabernacle. And would somebody stand to your feet and give a thanks to the Lord, because God's going to provide a tabernacle. Come on, come on, come on, send it up, send it up, send it up, send it up. God is going to provide a tabernacle. God bless you. You can be seated. I just thought I'd throw in there, you know, Christmas time's coming up. Everybody gets a present but Jesus. Huh? And then some of you are going to spend your tithe on a present, and you're not even going to give it to Jesus. You're using his money to buy a present. You ain't going to give it to him. It's bad enough you'd have gave it back to him. At least he'd have got it back. But no, you won't give it to somebody else. So I'm just throwing that in there. I know I'm killing the spirit and all that good stuff. Somebody say thank you. David talks about the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalms 107, chapter, verse number 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. I'm going to tell you, if you'll just be honest with yourself, you can't help but give thanksgiving unto the Lord when you look at the works of his hands. All you've got to do is stop and take the time. At night, just gaze into the sky. In the evening, gaze at the west coast. In the morning, gaze at the east coast. Watch as the wind blows through the trees, and something will get a hold of you, that because the Bible says that the earth declares the handiwork of God, and your hands go up and you say, thank you, Jesus. Hey, aren't you happy you don't live on Mars? Mars is hot, man. It's like 375 degrees Fahrenheit. It's just hot. I know, that was dumb. Okay. So David said, sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Now in that chapter, this is what David says, we ought to be thankful to the Lord. David said, because he redeemed you from the hand of your enemy, because he gathered you out of the lands. Are you thankful God brought you out of Egypt? David says, because he delivered you out of distress, because he led you in the right way, because he satisfied the longing of your soul, because he brought you out of darkness and out of the shadow of death, because he broke the bands that were against you, he broke them asunder, because he made your storm calm. David said, this is why I lift my hands and I say to you, Jesus. Somebody shout out, thank you. Oh, come on, let it come from way down deep. Shout it. You just walked outside and there's that brand new Lexus. It's not going to happen. But all this other stuff happened. He redeemed you out of darkness. He leads you every day.
He broke the bands of bondage off of you. He removed you from the shadow of death. He calmed your storm. He brought you out of Egypt. He removed your distresses. He redeemed you from the hand of your enemy. All of these things, they're not maybes. They've already happened. God has already done them for you and I. And because of that, I say thank you. Shout it out. Leviticus 22:9. And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it. Oh, here it is. Offer it at your own will. Thankfulness must be something that you yield up because you want to give it to the Lord. I would dare to say that no matter what current situation you and I find ourselves in, there is something in our lives that we can give thanks to for God. I'm going to show you a couple of them here real quick. Job 12:9 says, you don't have to turn to these, sister. Job 12:9 says, who knoweth not in all things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, and whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Would somebody take a deep breath right now? Take another one. Let it out. This time when you take one, when you let it out, would you say thank you? Take that breath. Let it out with a thank you. Because God gave you every breath you just took. Job said in 33:4, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. I'm thankful to you, Jesus. David named a few things to be thankful for in 2 Samuel and 22:1. He said, I am thankful because you're my high tower. I am thankful because you drew me out of many waters. I am thankful because you delivered me from my enemy. I am thankful because you made my feet like a hind's feet. I am thankful because you're my shield and my buckler. I am thankful because you enlarge my steps. I am thankful because you have girded me up with strength. I am thankful because thou hast given me the necks of my enemies. David said in verse 50 of that chapter, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord. Listen. Thanksgiving ought to be a day that you and I take the time, find ourselves somewheres, just us and Jesus, and begin to thank him for everything that he's done for us. Somebody shout it out. Shout it out. We look through the word of the Lord and we see so many thanking him. Samuel gave thanks unto the Lord. David gave thanks unto the Lord, his holy name. We find Daniel in 2:23 gave thanks unto him. I'm just sort of running through these. Luke 17:16, the Bible says the leper fell down upon his face. What a wonderful message, Brother Powell, Saturday at our service at Curry Park. What a great message he preached. He dealt with the lepers. But this leper fell down on his face at his feet. What did he do? He said, I'm thankful. And I love the way the verse ends it here. And he was a Samaritan. You know what that meant? That meant the Jews hated him. That meant he was an outcast. That meant he had no advantages in society. He had to live on the wrong side of the tracks. He had everything going against him. He couldn't go to college. He could never have a degree. He could never hold a position in any of the Jewish traditions. He was an outcast. He was a Samaritan. But not only was a Samaritan, he was a leper. But when Jesus healed him, he fell at his feet and he said, thank you for healing me. I'm here to tell you, no matter where you live, no matter your condition, God is here to heal you, bless you, help you. Am I by myself today? Is there a church that wants to give thanks to God? That's the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches. Is there a thank you in your heart? Is there a I bless you, Jesus, in your spirit? want to let you in on something. Y'all know I'm not going to give the story of my mom. Y'all know it. My mother was an invalid all of my life. She took her last step at 5 years old. Blind. As years went on, couldn't feed herself, bathe herself. After the sisters left and my older brother left, I was the last one. And so I can remember many times getting up at 3 a.m. in the morning because my mom had to go to the restroom, carrying her to the bathroom and setting her on the toilet. That's hard to do for a young man, bathing her because she can't bathe herself. But I'm saying all that to say this. I sat down and had a talk with my mom one day because I want to explain something to you. I want you to understand this because this happens to people who are invalids and they cannot do for themselves. And everything that will ever be done for them must be done by someone else. All right, so do you comprehend where I'm coming from? If they're going to eat, they have to be fed. If they're going to be bathed, they have to be bathed. Every single thing. If they want a drink of water, the drink of water has to be given them. Everything. So what happens, now follow me on this. What happens is that the people who surround them, that feed them, give them drink, bathe them, take them to the bathroom, do everything that you and I do every day without even thinking twice about it, right? These people become their hands and their feet. Now follow me, right? In the mind, over time, over years of this, everybody having to do something for you, you can do nothing for yourself. People become your hands and they become your feet. So let me ask you, let me ask you a question. When you go get a drink of water and you grab it and you take it, do you say thank you, hand? No, because that hand did exactly what you told it to do. It belongs to your body. If it don't listen, you'll just cut it right off. You'll cut it right off. I'll show you, hand. I'll just cut you off. No, you don't say thank you, hand. When you leave today and you get in your car, are you going to say, oh, thank you, feet, for bringing me to this vehicle? Not going to happen. So this is what happens to people, that if anything gets done for them, someone else has to do it for them. People become their hands and feet. So the invalid, not in an angry, evil way, but in a natural process of things, stops saying thank you. Because they do not visualize the act of someone doing them a favor. Now, if you weren't raised with an invalid, you won't comprehend this. But if you were raised with one, you'll understand where I'm coming from. They stop saying thank you. They're not mean and ugly. You are their hands. You become their feet. When they need something, you have to do it. And over time, they just expect you to do it. It even gets worse. Even if they don't ask, they want to figure out why you didn't know. You should have just done it because, you know, like some husbands treat wives. You should have just done it because you just knew that's what I wanted. That was a little punch on the husbands there just for a second. So I sat down and had a talk with mom. Because other people would come over and she'd say, could you do this? Could you do that? Could that? My mother was a sweet lady. She was mean too, but she was sweet. And someone would go do it and mom would just take it and never say a word. So I said, mom, I need to wake you up. When someone does something for you, you say thank you. You taught me that all my life. You'd slap my face if I didn't say thank you. You say, sit down right here, son. Sit down right here. Come closer. I can't reach you. Come closer. It hurt, though. I mean, in here, it hurt. And so I had to explain to her that I know you lost this concept because you think they're your feet and your hands, but they're not. They're people, and they took time out to do this for you, and you must say thank you. So over the next few years, she started working on that. Now, I didn't make her say thank you to me every single time. I was trying to get her to understand. So where are you going with all this, Pastor? I'm going to tell you why we're not thankful. Because you're so used to God doing everything for you. He's just become your hands. He's just become your feet. You go through your day, and in your mind, God has not protected you. God has not watched over you. And if he did, it's what he's supposed to do. And so we lose our thankfulness because we're just used to God doing. So I come to preach to this congregation. It's time to wake up. God doesn't have to do anything for you. When you get up in the morning and you take your first breath, it ought to be, thank you, Jesus. Because God gave you that breath. When you walk with your 2 feet, thank you, Jesus. I don't mean become crazy and radical, but what I am saying to this congregation today is we need to become thankful to our God who helps us and blesses us and keeps us and provides for us. You know, about the only thing we've kept in that tradition is our food. And we give thanks over our food out of habit, not appreciation. We had some missionaries come through a few days ago. They didn't preach for us. They were just in the area. And you precious people put them up in a nice hotel. Thank you. And we took them out to eat, so we're having breakfast, and I ate some fruit, and I think they brought out some almond French toast. Oh my, so good. Butter melted right on top of it. Just the right amount of syrup. Hot right out of the oven. It's hot, warm. Oh, melted in your mouth. I'm just eating. Melts in your mouth. So unbelievable. Good stuff. So I take in a bite or two. I'm just having conversation. And the missionary's wife, who can barely speak English, she's from Germany. In her broken accent, she goes, "Oh, ain't I going to pay?" I said, "What? I ain't I going to pay?" I looked at my wife. She said, "She wants to know if we're going to pray." He's just my hands. He's just my feet. I expect that meal on that plate. I expect these clothes on my back. I expect to have food in my cupboard, because his word said he would do it, right? I expect to have a vehicle driven. I expect there to be money in my account to take care of my. I expect my house note to be taken care of. I expect health to be in my body. He's just my hands. He's just my feet. And I lost my thankfulness to him a long time ago over all the little things he does for us every day of our life. I wish we'd clap a little better to the Lord for that revelation. I'm telling you, that's a revelation. You need to receive it. He's not your hands. He's not your go-boy. He's not your butler. He's not your servant. He is your God, and he blesses you because he loves you, and we need to be thankful. Let's stand to our feet. Come on, somebody. Stand to your feet and love him. Stand to your feet and praise him. Stand to your feet and glorify him. Bless his mighty name. He is worthy. He is worthy. Music, if you'll come, let's remain standing. This Christmas, somebody's going to give you a gift. And if there's an ounce of dignity left in you, you're going to say thank you. Even if you don't like it. I mean, sometimes we open up gifts, and while we're opening them, we're thinking of which store we can return it to. Whatever you do, do not re-gift. Because without fail, you will give that gift right back to the person that gave it to you the first time. That's just like built into the equation. We will say thank you. 2,000 years ago. And listen, listen. Especially if we knew that person had to go through a few things in order to make that gift happen. Doesn't that kind of increase the value of thankfulness? If you know what they had to do to make that happen. The Bible says that he came to give gifts unto men, to set the captive free. But he did not just show up one day and say, here's the Holy Ghost. Here's the gift of the Holy Ghost. No. No, he walked on earth, ridiculed and persecuted by men, rejected. The Bible says he was rejected. Rejected by the Pharisees, rejected by the Sadducees, even rejected by his own disciples. Rejected as the cornerstone laid from the foundation of time. Rejected, 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 rejected. But his love was so strong that he continued down the path that was necessary in order to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm talking to us that have it, and I'm talking to us that don't. If you've never received the gift of the Spirit of God, I don't mean be touched and blessed by him. I mean when he comes into your life and he fills you so much that the Bible says out of your mouth begins to flow rivers of water. What is the rivers of waters? Well, the Bible explains it later. It's a heavenly language that begins to speak out of you. Rivers of water. He fills you so much, his Spirit begins to speak out of you. But this gift didn't come cheap. John 18 and 12 says they bound him. John 18 and 40 says they traded him for a thief. Mark 15 and 15 said they scourged him with the cat of nine tails. Matthew says that they stripped him naked, placed a crown of thorns upon his head, mocked him, spit in his face, and smote him on the cheek and pulled the hairs out while they were at it. What are you doing, Jesus? I'm buying a gift. Every eye closed, if you will, just for a moment. What are you doing, Lord? I'm buying a gift. You're buying a gift? Yeah. Who are you going to give that to? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. I'm going to give it to the world. And whoever will receive it, whosoever will, whosoever will, let them come. I tell people seeking the Holy Ghost, especially for baptizing them, if you've never been baptized, please let us baptize you today. We have a tank full of water, warm, clean. And if you say, well, I've been baptized, but if you weren't baptized in Jesus' name, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Baptized in the name of Jesus. Baptized into him, Paul says in Romans 6. Let us baptize you. But I'll tell them, they'll come out of the water, and I'll say, when you come out of that water, having repented of your sins, just lift your hands and begin to say, Jesus, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. And when you begin to say, Jesus, I thank you for the Holy Ghost, you're going to feel something touch you from the top of your head, through your body, to the soles of your feet. Because what are you doing? You're saying, I thank you for what you did on me, for me on Calvary. I thank you for what you did for me by coming to this world. I thank you. Because that's the only way you could have got that gift, is if he would have paid the price. Someone had to pay the price. And so on this day of thankfulness, the thing that I have the most to thank my God for is that I am filled with his Spirit. So I wonder, church, I wonder if you'll make your way down right now. If you're a guest, you're welcome to come. We'd love for you to come. We have time. It's not even 1 o'clock yet. Let's make our way down, church, if you will. Don't rush off today. Don't rush off. What do you say we take the time to say thank you? Don't clog up my aisles. As you come down the aisles, come all the way up to the front or go to the right or the left. But don't stay in the aisle. Come on. Leave room for those that are coming. I'm asking for the entire congregation to come. Our members, of course. And then if you're a guest, please come. Please come with us. Please come and tell the Lord. Thank you. And if you're here today and you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, but you love God, all you have to do is come to this altar and ask God to forgive you of your sins. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us of those sins. It's not hard to be forgiven. All you got to do is mean it from your heart. Father, forgive me of all that I've done wrong. Forgive me. Have mercy on me, Lord. I love you, Jesus. You'll begin to feel him touch you. He'll touch your heart. He'll touch your spirit. If tears flow, don't worry about it. Let them flow. Just let them flow. Don't be ashamed. Lift your head up. Let tears flow. This is you and your God. And then you just begin to say, Jesus, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, as you say that, as you say, Jesus, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. Jesus, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. You're going to begin to feel the power of God touch you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. He's going to flow all over your body. He's going to flow all over you. So I ask the church right now, we're only going to be in this altar for a few moments. I ask you, in your own way, however that is, will you begin to thank him for that gift he gave you? Because I want to tell you, he paid a hefty price. It cost him his life. It cost him his blood. It cost him the pain of Calvary. The pain of Calvary. The pain of Calvary. He had to suffer the cross. He had to suffer the stripes upon his back. He had to suffer the crown of thorns upon his head. He had to suffer the spear in his side. He had to suffer the hair pulled from his face as chunks of meat came with it. He had to suffer the cat of nine tails as they ripped his back open. His blood began to flow. That was the price he paid so that you and I could be saved. And I want to say thank you, Jesus. I want to say thank you. Oh God, in this season of thanks of the world, and they thank for so many things, but I thank you. I thank you for what you did for me, for what you've done for my family. I thank you, Lord, for salvation. I thank you for washing away my sins. I thank you, Lord. Let some thanks go up. You need the Holy Ghost, just raise your hands. We'll have people around your ministry looking around. They'll help you pray. They'll help you pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are you thankful today? Are you thankful today?
I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks.
Come on, church. He's not our feet. He's not our hands. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. You're my everything, Lord. You're my everything, Lord.
I am so blessed.
I wish it'd come from your heart.
My soul has found rest.
It's got to be a willful thanksgiving offering. You got to give him thanks because you want to. You got to mean it. You got to feel it. Think about what he's done for you. Think about how he's blessed you. Are you thankful?
I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Oh, we give you thanks.
Thanks.
Do you feel that way? Thankful congregation is a blessed congregation. A thankful family is a blessed family. When we're thankful, we become content wherever we find ourselves. And when we're thankful, peace comes upon our heart and our mind. And I am so thankful. I am so thankful. One more time, let's thank him. From your heart. From your heart. Let God know you mean it. Let him know you mean it. Oh, are you thankful? Oh, I'm thankful, Lord. I'm thankful, Lord. I'm thankful, Lord. I'm thankful, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to think of a difficult situation that you're in. And I want you to say, Lord, in this situation, I want you to know that I am still thankful to you. In this situation, I am thankful to you. The Bible says, in all things, be thankful. Let it flow across the congregation. Come on, one more time. Just let His Spirit sweep across this congregation. Let it sweep across your heart. Praise God, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Oh, my, my. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll give you something else to be thankful about. No church Wednesday. Enjoy your families for Thanksgiving. We used to have it on Wednesday anyway, but nine of you would show. So I figured instead of me working myself to death, make it happen, I'd just go have fun with the rest of you. So go enjoy your families. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. During the meal, take the time to talk about to your family, make them all uncomfortable, and say, let's all say something that we can be thankful to the Lord about. God bless you. I love you. You're the greatest people in the world. I love you. Thank you for working for the kingdom of God. Thank you for being a blessing. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for your sacrifice.
I am so blessed.
Be good to one another. Be kind to one another. God bless you.
Oh, Lord.